Welcome to the podcast series for HAP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Restino et al. Titled, Endothelial Dysfunction Following Prolonged Sitting is Mediated by a Reduction in Shear Stress. This article published online January 8, 2016. Joining me today are Associate Editor Nancy Kanegi, Lead Author Jaume Padilla, and Content Expert Lee Stoner. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. It's been known for some time that prolonged sitting causes decrease in leg blood flow, and that that probably contributes to the incidence of atherosclerosis in the lower limbs of people with jobs that involve prolonged sitting. So this study used heating to prevent the normal reduction in shear stress that occurs with prolonged sitting to see if that would prevent post-sitting decreases in endothelium-dependent dilation. Indeed, the heating protocol was effective at both increasing shear stress, or increasing blood flow at least, and at preventing the post-sitting decrease in endothelium-dependent dilation. This short but interesting article raises a lot of questions for discussion. So Jaume, could you start by telling us what you hypothesized to maybe be this primary driver of the protective effect of increased blood flow and shear?
Thanks, Nancy. So there is an increasing amount of evidence that reduced shear stress is a detrimental signal to the vasculature. And this evidence comes from both animal studies as well as studies in humans. And so our previous studies and studies from others demonstrating that during sitting, there is a decline in blood flow prompted us to believe that this might be the mechanisms by which sitting is associated with a reduction in endothelial function in the lower limbs. We believe that what's happening is that during the decrease in blood flow in the lower limbs, there is a decrease in the activation of eNOS. And this might be one of the mechanisms by which reduction in blood flow and shear stress results in an impairment in endothelium-dependent dilation.
So what you're thinking is that these sort of repetitive decreases acutely in NO production can lead to long-term damage in the vasculature?
This is certainly a very good question. And one question that we need to test in future studies is what are the long-term implications or ramifications of these repeated bouts of acute endothelial dysfunction associated with sitting. Right now, all we can say or we can see is that after a prolonged period of sitting, we see a decline in leg endothelial function. The new direction that we need to go next is what are the long-term vascular complications associated with too much sitting?
Oh, these are really interesting results. And Lee, I would like to ask you now, I know you have research interests in improving public health through increases in exercise. So what do you see as sort of public health implications of this research?
The nice thing about this study is I think the findings are easy to translate. Of course, I think there's further work that needs to be done in the area, and hopefully people will follow up on this research. But there are particular populations out there that are unable to exercise as regularly as the body expects them to. For instance, people with spinal cord injury who can't move their limbs, or people with peripheral arterial disease who can walk for a short distance but not for very long. And you know, and if you can't exercise, that kind of becomes a vicious cycle. You know, just playing on what Jaume just said about the decrease in shear stress being an atherosclerotic mechanism.
I also think about those of us that spend a lot of time sitting at our desks in front of computer terminals. And I'm wondering, is there anything special about this 3-hour sitting interval that you chose? So that if I sit for 2 hours and then I take a stroll and then I sit 2 more hours, have I avoided the endothelial effects of sitting? Or is it cumulative with negative effects that are proportional to how many hours a day we spend sitting?
We did a first study about a year ago in which we assessed the effects of 6 hours of sitting. And what we found is with 6 hours is we found a very profound decline in vascular function. So what we wanted to do with this next protocol is to shorten this time period and see if 3 hours was sufficient to provoke vascular endothelial dysfunction. And indeed, we found that 3 hours was enough. We haven't gone any shorter than 3 hours. Certainly, other studies should test if shorter time periods of sitting are also leading to vascular endothelial dysfunction. What we found is that after a prolonged period of sitting, just 10 minutes of walking was sufficient to restore normal vascular function in the leg. So we believe that just a small amount of activity is sufficient to prevent this decline in vascular function. In our case, in our study, we found that it's not even necessary to be active. It's just by increasing flow to the limb through local heating. That's enough to potentially prevent the detrimental effects of sitting.
And so, Lee, this speaks well to your point that there are people that can't get up and walk around. And so having another alternative like heating, or I suppose we could speculate there may be other things, electrical stimulation that would increase flow. Do you know, is this used at all in paraplegic patients or patients that can't benefit from actually exercising?
Not as far as I know right now. Of course, people with peripheral arterial disease have the counterpropulsion therapy that is geared towards increasing circulation in their legs. But in terms of translating this to other groups, no. And I think that's part of the beauty of this study. It's something that is somewhat obvious. You know, the hypothesis that Jume had is obvious, and the work needed to be done, and it's only just now being done. And the types of questions you were just asking, Nancy, such as how long is enough? We still have to go a long way to being able to answer that yet. And of course, in the study that we're talking about right now, this was work with 10 healthy young men. We need to be able to repeat these findings in people with peripheral arterial disease and spinal cord injury and maybe diabetics and other groups who do have problems with their mobility.
So, Jeremy, do you have any plans to address some of those points that Lee just brought up?
Yes, it would be very interesting to test the effect of sitting in clinical populations. However, probably there will be a need for some funding in order to test some of those questions. Especially, I think the next question that is important is to look at the long-term vascular complications of excessive sitting. So I think a nice intervention would be to prevent some of the excessive sitting of many of the population that it's a common behavior. And if we could have an intervention where we prevent the amount of sitting and see if this leads to beneficial cardiovascular effects, that would be a very nice study.
I just had a long plane ride yesterday, and this makes me think then of that situation where you are trapped in an airplane and sitting. Is there anything that you can do short of carrying a heating pad with you? While you are sitting, are there leg exercises that can also have beneficial effects on blood flow that might be something that could be incorporated into this sedentary lifestyle that many of us find ourselves trapped in?
Yes, I certainly believe that small amounts of physical activity, even during sitting, just moving the legs, might be sufficient to prevent the decline in vascular function associated with sitting. So in my case, for example, when I'm in long rides in the plane, I try to move the legs to prevent this reduction in flow that otherwise the legs are subjected to. In the office, I choose to stand as much as possible. Right now, for example, we're having this podcast and I'm standing just because we're talking about sitting. So I'm trying to be conscious about and not sit too much.
So real life applications.
That's right.
So Lee, do you have any questions or comments that you would like to bring up for Xiaomi?
I do think that one trap we shouldn't fall into is just looking at this mechanism in isolation. There's a lot of talk about public health here. I just went to an excellent talk by a professor from the Netherlands called Ben van Omen on systems biology. You know, so we're talking about endothelial dysfunction here, but there's also been research over the last couple of years looking at bite-sized exercise for diabetics and the influence that short 1-minute bouts throughout the day have on blood glucose control. But what other ramifications does such exercise have on blood lipids, weight control over the year, and so on? So, of course, this is just early days right now, but the kind of things that Jume's talking about and the research that he's done has implications above and beyond just the endothelial function.
I think it is a topic that's ripe for discussion, and it's something that's very relevant to what's going on in our society right now. So this is a hard topic to bring to an end. And I think that we have many more exciting things to look forward to. Xiaomi, would you like to tell us just a quick synopsis? What do you think is the most important take-home message from this study? And what's the most important next study that you would like to do?
Thanks, Nancy. Yes, I think the major novel findings of the present study is that lack endothelial function is reduced with prolonged sitting, and that this impairment can be abolished by preventing the decrease in blood flow and shear stress during sitting. And indeed, what we found is that preventing the reduction of shear stress with sitting, with local heating, was enough to eliminate the impairment in popliteal artery endothelial function. And we believe these findings support the notion that reduced shear stress is an underlying physiological mechanism by which prolonged sitting causes endothelial dysfunction in the lower limbs. And certainly the next step is to apply this to the long term and determine if excess sitting over a prolonged period of time, days and months and years, can lead to an increased susceptibility of atherosclerosis to the lower limbs.
And Lee, you brought up some great public health points on things that go beyond atherosclerosis, such as insulin sensitivity. What would be the next study that you would like to see done in looking at the effects of sitting on our public health, or I guess specifically on vascular health?
As I said, I think this study is great because it's a simple, nicely controlled study that there are potential public health ramifications from this, that it's quite easy to translate these findings. However, these findings do need to be repeated in clinical populations. And I think this research lends itself well to interdisciplinary or multidisciplinary work looking at insulin sensitivity, lipid control, and so on. I think we should watch this space. And yeah, this is a really exciting area. And Jume said, to do this clinical work, some funding is needed. So if the NIH are listening, I think they should be funding Jume.
Well, so there you have it. Prolonged sitting really might be killing us, or at least increasing the risk for the development of vascular disease. As a desk-bound researcher, I know it has inspired me to start looking at pictures of standing desks. I hope it has also been interesting and inspiration to all of our listeners. Thank you both, Lee and Xiaomei, for a fascinating discussion on the detrimental effects of too much time spent sitting. And Xiaomei, I look forward to hearing more on potential ways to prevent the risks from your ongoing studies.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.